Okay, this is December 10th, 2022, 12:06 hours, Ward Green here. I've got unboxing and unpackaging. One envelope has arrived with several things in it. But before I listen to that, what I would like to do with you at the moment is listen to a song called After You're Gone. By the way, correction, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing is the correct song title that I misnamed the other day. But anyway, this is After You've Gone. And it's performed by the Yosho Stefan Trio with a guest performer on violin by the name of Costel Nitescu. Here they are. Sven. Well, that was quite beautiful, enjoyable, incredible. What's the word I'm looking for? It's entertaining. It's more than that. It's stimulating. It stimulates the mind to listen to good jazz like that. But I thought that throughout this performance, there were some problems with the levels of the different instruments. Sven Ljungbeck's guitar was too loud for maybe all of the whole performance. I'm not sure, but Yosho's guitar was sometimes it was too well at the beginning. It was too loud, and then later on it was too quiet. But really, actually, Yosho's guitar was not really too loud at the beginning. It was just about perfect. But the violin was too quiet, so it made Yosho's guitar sound too loud. But I also think Sven's guitar was a bit too loud throughout. And the bass wasn't loud enough for most of the performance, if not all of it, in fact. Because when the bass had a solo, that we couldn't hear the bass at the same level when we could hear the others, that we could hear the other solos. Yeah, 1948 was the year that Israel became a modern nation and gained independence as a nation. What I'm about to unbox here, okay, is, well, I should really look at it on the other screen. If I look at it over here, oh, I need to make it bigger again. Need to make, there we go, let's see, that's better. Yeah, so much better. I can see myself more than a tiny little dot on the screen. So this is what arrived, and this is pretty exciting. But sometimes Amazon deliveries come to the post office nowadays. They don't always come to my house, but I want them coming to the house. I like it. So this is the Thorn vitamin D liquid. Thorn vitamin D. Yeah, hopefully you can see this. Let's see. Oh, there, I'm trying to get it on cam if I can. It should say D liquid. Is that legible? I don't know how close this lens can focus. Okay, I'm going to bring this back onto my other screen so I can see it. There we go. Now I can see whether it's legible. Yeah, it says D liquid. Vitamin D liquid. So this is Thorn, the D liquid, and it only comes in 500 international units per drop, which is the same amount of vitamin D in the Thorn MK4 mixture or liquid as well. It's the same amount of vitamin D in both, but it's, if we want to convert units, it's 500 international units equals 12.5 micrograms. That's how much you get per drop. So two drops would be 1,000 international units. And so if you were taking, you know, several thousand, you'd have to take more than a few drops. But it's just a very nice way to get vitamin D if you don't want to take the gel caps. It's another way to do it. So, and it's not very expensive, I don't think, as a way to do it. Now, the other thing I got besides the Thorn, there's one more Thorn that I got. Because I respect Thorn as a laboratory. I know that they're one of the best laboratories in the world, so I'm not afraid to buy from them. But I'm going to be trying this other brand of K2. And it's because it's the MK7 in liquid. MK7 form of vitamin K2 in a liquid formulation with vitamin D. And there's much less of it in each drop, too. Children can take this. It's from a company called Land Art, recommended by Amazon. This company was recommended by Amazon. This product specifically was recommended by Amazon. Children ages 1 to 8 can take this. One drop per day. Teenagers can take 2 drops a day. Adults, 4 drops per day. But I know what this is. It's vitamin K2 from Natto, which is MK7. 30 micrograms per drop, which is only about one-third of what I'm getting of the MK4 in the Thorn liquid K2 drops. It's called menatetranone in the MK4 form. This is called menaquinone. But it's, I mean, they're all menaquinones, really. All the vitamin K2s are menaquinones, I should say. Vitamin K1 is a phylloquinone, but I don't know what the specific name of MK7 is. MK4 is called menatetranone, but they're all the K2 vitamins are part of the menaquinone group. MQ or MK, menaquinone. Look at this. It's orange. This is orange flavored. I don't really care about the flavoring. I just want to. I want to try this because this is liquid K2, and if I'm taking a lot of K2, I won't want to be taking it in the gel caps. That's why I think it's good, and I just want to see whether this brand is. I mean, I believe it. It's good, because it was made in Canada. That's the other thing. It's made in Canada, so it's made in Quebec. So it's really significant that it's made in. It's certified organic by EcoCert. That's another thing. It's certified organic by EcoCert, and that's another thing. That means it's probably good, but. It's made in Canada. That's another sign that it's good, because we know that Canadian standards to do with, for example, naturopathic labs, I believe they're Canadian, are they not? I'm not sure now. Let's see. Naturopathic. Pathic. Labs. Who are they? Canadian. Yeah, they're Canadian. Anything Canadian generally to do with science is actually a good thing. We know that because Canada has good scientific standards, good in every kind of standard, but you know, even the scientific and industrial standards and all that stuff in Canada is that we have high standards in Canada. It's just a little bit like our internet internet, you know, bandwidth in Canada is as good as anywhere in the world. But you know, I mean, it's in the big metropolitan areas in Canada, for example, and probably it's better. It's more reliable than in the U.S. or in other places, I believe, or it used to be anyway, a short time ago. And I doubt that it's changed, very much. But if anything, Canada's probably getting better over time too, I think. And increasing the gap, because it just tends to be that way. When somebody's learning, when someone has higher standards, that means they're learning faster, too. And they're able to continue to raise their standards. So this is the other thing I got from Thorn. And this is really significant, because this is $60, but it's $180 multivitamin capsules. N-cap, it's called. N-cap. Multi-N-cap. And it contains a little bit of vitamin C, not much. Pantothenic acid, I think that is. I can't read it because the label's covering it over. But I can read the French one, too, if I want. It's got some vitamin E in it, which is the D-alpha tocopherol. That's the best form of vitamin E, the D-alpha tocopherol. Definitely, according to Andrew Saul, who's the mega vitamin man. That's what he calls himself. But my back is, I still have that, the herniated disc. I've got to recover from the disc before I do too much. But I can still do all kinds of physical work. It's just, I'm tempted to just, or I'm thinking it might be better to do other types of work instead of physical work. But it's not true, really. I can still do the work on all the woodworking and things I want to do. But lifting heavy things, though, is not a good idea when you have a herniated disc. If that's what I have, I believe that's what I have. It's just a minor thing. It's not something that I notice all the time when I'm moving or when I'm standing up or even bending over. I don't notice it. Just certain ways. So I'm not sure if it's a herniated disc or what it is, but there's certain times, certain ways. When I use my back to lift myself, that's when I'm in trouble. And all I did was lift my upper body. When I bent over slightly, I just pulled up a little bit with my, using my back, and it tweaked my back. Yes, two days ago, not yesterday. But this thorn, I need to get that label off because I have to be able to read. So there's a paper label over top. There it is. I got it. Okay, good. It's just thorn research. It's just the, I don't know what you call it. What do you call that? It's just the inventory label or something. It's just an inventory sticker that doesn't have it. It wasn't put there by Thorn. It was put there by the seller, so I could take it off. Now, if we look here, it has magnesium and calcium, but very small amounts. So I'm not interested in that part of it. But it does have some of the B vitamins, like niacinamide and thiamine. Niacinamide is B3. Thiamine, I think, is B1, isn't it? I'm trying to remember, but... it has niacin as well. Which is the same thing as niacinamide, isn't it? But in a different form, apparently. It's got some other things like zinc. So I think manganese, good. Folate, vitamin A. It has iodine, too. But the reason why this is so good is because it's first of all, it's made by Thorn, and it's got good ratings from people, but it's made by Thorn, so the quality, the standard level of it, the quality of it, is bound to be better than average, for any kind of vitamin or supplement, because it's made by Thorn. Well, that it doesn't guarantee anything. It's just that I want to try it. It's a lot less expensive, than the one I was buying, which was made from raw vegetables and fruits, but it was very expensive, and now I can't get it anymore at that price, and it was still expensive, even at the price I got it, which was from Garden of Life. It was called Men 50 and Wiser, I think it was called. It was a multi. This is a multi, but that one cost, for 240 capsules, it cost... about $100, and this is $60 for 180. So clearly, this one is cheaper. That's one thing. Not much cheaper, but it's cheaper. So, and I can get this one apparently, and it's made by Thorn. So I like all those things. I mean, it's just something I won't take a multi necessarily every single day, but. Maybe I should, and I'm going to be taking more vitamin C now that I know about the fact that Dr. Cathcart said that vitamin C definitely has something to do with getting pulled muscles. A deficiency of vitamin C, that is, causes herniated discs as well as pulled muscles and things like that. So I need to take more vitamin C on a daily basis. So I think I'll probably take one or two, maybe just 1,000 every day, 1 gram or 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C every day, or maybe I'll take 2,000, I don't know. But it will also prevent me from getting a lot of infections, I think. So I won't have to take 5 or 6 grams on the occasions when I get the mild infections. You know, when I take the ascorbic acid in the early phases of the infections, that is, if I don't take it right away, I'll be taking a lot more than 5 or 6 grams. So I mean, but I won't have to take 5 or 6 grams if I don't get the infection, because I'm taking 1 gram a day. So I mean, 1 gram a day can do a lot, and maybe it can prevent my herniated discs. I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm not saying it does. I'm just saying that you shouldn't underestimate. Definitely, I mean, I wouldn't underestimate anymore the power of vitamins. I just took, I take 6 in the morning of the MK4 right now. So I'm going to write that down. 12:30. I took it with Cheerios, cream, and evaporated milk. Now, if you haven't had any health problems, then you may not want to take any supplements, you know, which is understandable, but it might not be really advisable because you don't want to get sick and then be struggling to try and get your health back if you can prevent getting sick in the first place. I mean, you don't want to be getting old. That's what I mean. You don't want to age. It's not, because it's harder to recover from aging than it is from a, you know, a mild infection or something. But I'm just suggesting that there are some vitamins that are much safer than others that you can take, and you might want to consider those vitamins as a way of preventing aging. And minerals and vitamins like calcium and vitamin K2 and vitamin D and magnesium, those are the ones that are so crucial. But there are many others, though, that you have to, now, if you can't deal with them all individually because there's too much to learn, you can take a multi of some kind of multivitamin can really help. But this will not give you enough calcium. If you agree with me, first of all, if you agree with me that you need calcium, this is not going to provide the amount that you need if you understand it the way I do, how our bodies need calcium. And not everyone agrees with that. I'm just saying that this is something that is, when we're young, we take calcium because we're growing and we need to put calcium into our bodies to feed the growth of the bones. And we do that as babies. We take milk and so on. And then we stop eating milk, some of us in our teenage years or sometime after we're very young anyway. But if we stop eating milk, the problem is what's happening to our calcium at that point? It's just decreasing over the course of our lives because calcium leaves our bodies. When we eat sugar and protein, and probably basically almost anything that we eat causes calcium to leave our bodies to some extent, because most of what we eat has some protein and most of what we eat has some sugar. But, I mean, calcium leaves our bodies when we eat either of those two, and that was just a scientific study that I read. I'm not sure that calcium doesn't leave our bodies when we eat other things besides those things too. I believe that it probably does, but that wasn't what they were studying. That wasn't the subject of that particular study. But I mean, the truth is there are too many things to study. We can't study them all, not all at once. It's just too much to do. So we have to focus on doing something. But if we wait until we get old, that seems like the wise thing, but it's not necessarily wise at all. When you start having the problems of old age, and they're much more difficult to reverse than, but I wouldn't say that, you know, I wouldn't say that they're really that difficult necessarily either to reverse. It's just, you don't want to be in that situation because you get complications. Your illness is complicated by other factors, that things that have happened during the time that you were, you know, degenerating in your health, and the complications become great in number. And so if you're trying to take a vitamin when you're older, you might have many complications you have to cope with along with that, and your body needs many other vitamins, and you're not necessarily getting those vitamins, and you don't know whether you should be taking more of the other vitamins or whether you should stop and slow down on the first vitamin because of these complications that come up as the virus that's in your body leaves your body. Because as Dr. Cathcart was saying, he was taught in medical school that the body is essentially sterile. The brain and the bones and the blood and the tissue of the body is basically sterile. I'm trying to remember what parts he was saying. The brain, the blood, certainly, and some other parts of the body he was taught were sterile. And he learned later that wasn't true at all. There's virus that hides in the body, and the virus hides in the body and can come out again. So what I learned was about, I didn't learn this from Dr. Cathcart. I learned it from other people, but maybe they learned it from him. I don't know where they learned it. But other people taught me about, and I don't know who these people are, but I learned about healing crises, how you can be taking good food and that can cause you to eject virus from your body because your body, that virus is now threatened, you know. I mean, the virus is successfully thriving or surviving in your body, hiding in your body, thriving or surviving in your body and hiding. In hiding, right? But and then when you take good food, that stimulates your immune system or something. Something happens, so that virus has to come out to fight for its life. And when that virus comes out, you get sick, but it's called a healing crisis because you're about to get better again and you're about to be stronger than you were before you had the virus. And that's something that happens many times, much more often as we get older and we start eating better food or taking better vitamins or whatever the case may be. We have these healing crises and we think, well, we have to stop taking that vitamin, but that's not true necessarily. It could be just a healing crisis. My dad had heart palpitations or increased heart rate when he started taking vitamin K2, and he interpreted that as being that he had to stop taking it. But he stopped taking it, and then he went to a doctor, and the doctor got him on a drug, and that apparently was the thing that killed him. And he was warned about it by the doctor, that he, you know, he was warned of the danger of this drug. He still chose to take the drug, and he died shortly thereafter of a stroke, I believe, a blood clot in the brain. But we don't really know all the cause of death, usually in most cases, I would say. But he died, I believe, because he was afraid of vitamin K2, and he was afraid. And he believed in the medical establishment rather than in what I was telling him. But I wasn't telling him that he should or shouldn't do this or that. I certainly was not advising him to go to a doctor, because I knew that was not the answer. I just know that that's not the answer to our health problems, because doctors don't know enough. Not in this part of the world. I mean, not in conventional allopathic medicine. In the Western world, I would say, let's take the very best of them, for example, at the Mayo Clinic or John Hopkins or some place that has a great reputation for excellence in their field. Even though those doctors are wrapped up in, I mean, and there are exceptions among all organizations, you know, with throughout all the world, you know, there are exceptions in every organization. There are good doctors, right? But in general, they don't possess it's not the people who don't possess the sufficient talent. It's that they're embroiled or bound up or, you know, caught and connected, interconnected with the pharmaceutical industry, and with, they do surgery and they administer drugs, and those are the ways they treat illness, and those aren't the ways that I believe are the way to treat illness at all. Neither of those is the preferred way. It's through nutrition is the primary way, always through nutrition and natural source vitamins and things like that. Those have to be the ways. And that is my opinion, but I believe that's the true, it's the only way. It's the only way. I'm totally convinced. Completely convinced of that. And I think Jehovah is completely in harmony with that in the way that he thinks too, because we know God doesn't like drugs. He condemned spiritism because that is the word for pharmaceuticals in Greek. And so he was condemning drugs. I mean, but he condemned drugs. When he condemned spiritism, he was condemning drugs. We know he doesn't approve of sorcery, which is another form of the same idea of drugs. So, and of course it involves anything that is not using logic, which is the logic that comes with, let's say, you know, it's from Jesus Christ, but it's from the Logos, Jesus Christ. However, we know what logic is. It means we take what we know, we take what we believe, you know, and then we reason out what's going to be the consequence of our actions. And that's how logic works. When we take vitamins, we know the body uses those vitamins. We know that we have to give them. When we're deficient in those vitamins, we know that the body, if it needs more, we need to provide that. That's logical. That's using logic. Not like someone who says there's a symptom, we have to give a drug to stop that symptom from occurring. That's illogical completely, because it doesn't even get to the cause. They don't even have a clue what they're doing. Every drug that's put in the body that's not a food substance causes hundreds, if not millions, of processes in the body to start and begin to contaminate the body with all kinds of other compounds, and all kinds of new processes begin to occur in the body that aren't supposed to be there. And that can only be bad. It can't be good. So it's not, and it's not logical either, but it's not desirable at all to use any drugs whatsoever. It doesn't matter what you're talking about. If you're trying to remove a symptom and that's your goal, that's not a good enough reason. You have to know the reason. I mean, I know that when I take vitamin K2, my arthritis goes away. I know that. But I know that the K2 is not just making the symptom go away. That K2, it makes the arthritis go away because it makes calcium work properly in the body. And it removes calcium from the joints and puts it in the bones. I know that's the truth, because that's what I've been told by people who know even more than I do. But it does far more than just reverse arthritis. It also reverses osteoporosis in Japan. They've used it for that in the MK4 form of liquid vitamin K2. Is at least that's the form I've got of MK4. But they've used it in 45 milligram quantities to reverse osteoporosis in Japan, and they've done that for decades, which is unbelievable to people in the West, because we've never done that in the West. So if you had osteoporosis, you could reverse it for $600 a month. It's what that says, which is, anybody would jump on that opportunity. Now, maybe it doesn't reverse it in everybody, because some people are much worse than others in terms of how far advanced their disease is, etc. Maybe you need more of it for some people. but probably less than in some other people too. And when you understand all the other things, like Dr. Cathcart said, vitamin C reverses osteoporosis when you take it with other minerals. And then he names all the minerals. And then he also says that if you can't take vitamin C, you need to cure your yeast infection or some other problem that you've got that's causing you to be allergic to or sensitive to vitamin C, ascorbic acid, or ascorbate, as it's called also. So there are many approaches to this osteoporosis problem, and they're not involving any drugs. That, I mean, drugs are not even necessary. I mean, drugs are, I mean, without any drugs of any kind, in any form, for any illness, you can treat osteoporosis. And if you can treat osteoporosis and do it successfully, which has been proven by Dr. Cathcart as well as the people in Japan, apparently both have done it, and I know really nothing about it. I'm just saying this is what has been reported. If that's true, then how can you ignore that and go down a path where you're taking artificial substances manufactured by a drug company that are going to have completely unpredictable consequences, as opposed to some natural approach of taking supplements? That's just a completely different approach. Far more, well, just, it's just far more logical, but it's far safer. That's the point. It's far safer and far less money, too. Far less money. Far less millions of dollars spent on research as well, but and wasted on research, because all of that research is going towards putting poison into people's bodies that's going to kill them or cause new illnesses so that those drug companies can make more drugs. That's all it's trying to do. That's all they're doing. That's all they're doing. Now, they're not trying to just do that. I know they're trying to cure these diseases. They're trying to cure cancer. They're trying to cure all these things. And there are non-drug cures for cancer, too. And that we can talk about as well sometime. But, I mean, I already have talked about it. Well, even vegetable juices has been used to cure cancer, for example. I mean, an advanced stage malignant cancer, you know, a tumor growing out of control, has been reversed and cured using vegetable juices. I mean, there's lots of other solutions. I mean, there are lots of solutions. Forget drugs. It's not, these other ones are not alternative treatments. The drugs are the thing that should be considered the crazy alternative. They're not the standard treatment. They shouldn't be considered standard. Standard should be eating the right food, taking the right vitamins. That should be the standard treatment. And it's no one's fault that they aren't getting the right vitamins. A lot of times it's not their fault. They've tried to eat well. My wife tried to eat well. Mind you, she took prednisone, and that causes, according to Dr. Cathcart, it causes osteoporosis. And she took it without my knowledge, but she took it in collaboration with her doctor. So, and that is known to cause osteoporosis, according to Dr. Cathcart, who is a wonderful man, a genius. He's a pioneer in vitamin C therapy for all sorts of illnesses, actually, not just infection, but infection especially. I think osteoporosis, is that an infection? Maybe, but I don't think we think of it that way. But yeast infection is another one that he was treating. And not the vaginal yeast infection, but the candidal, or candidiasis, it's called, right? Candida. Infection of the whole body, where your body cannot tolerate any yeast, and it can't tolerate sugar, because sugar stimulates the growth of yeast. So he believed in avoiding sugar, which I also learned from Dr. Jamnatis, totally independently, apparently, from Dr. Cathcart, about avoiding sugar. But a lot of physicians are in agreement that we should avoid sugar, but especially processed sugar, of course. I mean, that's the thing, that's the worst thing. So I think we can come back. There's so many things to talk about, and I know I'm sounding like a broken record talking about the same things over and over, day after day. But I feel like I have to do that because some people are going to be listening to this for the first time, and I want to welcome those people also to our study today. Little children, the study of Psalm 70, to the director of David to bring to remembrance. It's a very short psalm, 5 verses. So let's pray for some guidance to Jehovah. We're up to a long, well, we've used a lot of time already. I just got rambling here. And I'm going to put these supplements in the fridge after this video is made. To the director of David to bring to remembrance, Jehovah, our Father in heaven, give us guidance in understanding and give us determination to persevere in studying your word. If you are in agreement with that, which I believe you are, and help us to be remembering that we are dust and we're not really important as far as in the universe and as a population of humans on earth, we're not really that significant, but we're just like dust on the scales, as your word also reveals to us. I believe that's in the book of Isaiah. We just learned that in our recent study. But we will check that as well. So thank you in Jesus' name, Father, and help us today in the name of the same Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, so I want to check first of all. Let's look up Isaiah. All right, let's look up this dust on the scales. Dust. Scales. Isaiah 40 and 15. As the film of dust on the scales, they have been accounted. That's the nations. All the humans are as a drop from a bucket and as the film of dust on the scales. Okay. Psalm 70. O God, to deliver me, O Jehovah, to my assistance, do make haste. May those be ashamed and abashed who are seeking my soul. May those turn back and be humiliated who are taking delight in my calamity. May those go back by reason of their shame who are saying, aha, aha. May those exult and rejoice in you, all of whom are seeking you. And may they say constantly, God be magnified, those loving your salvation. But I am afflicted and poor. O God, do act quickly for me. You are my help and the provider of escape for me. O Jehovah, do not be too late. So that's just a plea, a cry for help on the part of David to Jehovah. Help me and don't let people who are enjoying the fact that I'm in pain, or enjoying the fact that I'm in trouble, don't let them have success on that way of in their rejoicing because of my problems. Don't let them feel anything but shame and humiliation, and make those people feel ashamed who are rejoicing in my problems, in my trouble. But let those who are rejoicing in you, or those who are seeking you, let those of us, let us who are rejoicing in you and seeking you, let us say, God be magnified. Let us seek to magnify your name, in other words, right? And let us continue to rejoice in Jehovah, those who love your salvation. Jehovah does provide escape. That's something to remember, and that's what this psalm is talking about. It's not talking about really much else. That's what it's about. Do not be too late. Do not be too late, it says. That's what we can pray for. Because there are people who have come to Which Psalm are we up to now? Or which Isaiah? It's Isaiah 50. We just read Psalm 70, right? Yeah, I think so. Let's just take a look. Yeah. Yes, I believe it was 70. Psalm 70. And now Isaiah 50. This is a longer one. Oh, no, it's not long. I didn't even check it. That's right. I made sure I didn't check it in advance because I wanted to know. Or did I? Wait a minute. No, I think I did. I think I did check it. But I made sure that when I checked it, I wasn't checking it in order to use the information in the wrong way, if you know what I mean. Because David, when he took an account of the numbers of the people of Israel, the army of Israel, numbering the army of Israel was a mistake because he was told that was a mistake by Jehovah or by Jehovah's prophet. Because to number your army is to say, well, we're going to use our army to save us. But Jehovah is the salvation. The army's not the salvation. It's Jehovah who's the salvation of any people. It doesn't matter how many people there are. Jehovah can save those people because he is almighty. And if you take the number of your army with the wrong motive, if you're saying, how many people do we have in the army so that we can figure out whether we can save ourselves from this problem, if you take the number of people, that's not going to be the right thing to do. It's not going to be an accurate representation of your power to save yourself. And Jehovah knows that, so he doesn't like it when you count your army and say, well, this is how powerful we are. It's not really got anything to do with your power if you have a big army, because it has to do with, obviously, with the leader of the army and things like that. So, I mean, they're far more important than the number of people in the army. Because if the army's not led properly, what difference does it make how many there are? But Jehovah is the real leader. He's the one. And his son, Jesus, is the leader that he's appointed. But he's the one. Jehovah's the one who really provides salvation, not the number of people in the army. So when I was reading the number of scriptures, I didn't want to use it in the wrong way and say, well, it's a short verse, so today we'll have great success because the verse is short. That's not what I wanted to do. I just thought it would be, I made sure that I kept it in mind only as a very mild interest that I had in how long this chapter was. So I didn't really care how long it was, but I just wanted to look at it. So this is Isaiah 50. It is actually quite short. This is what Jehovah has said. Where then is the divorce certificate of the mother of your people whom I sent away? Or which one of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you people? In other words, well, look, because of your own errors, you have been sold. And because of your own transgressions, your mother has been sent away. So it doesn't sound like, well, let's keep reading though. Why is it that when I came in, there was no one? When I called, there was nobody answering. Has my hand become in fact so short that it cannot redeem? Or is there in me no power to deliver? Look, with my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink due to there being no water, and they die because of thirst. I clothe the heavens with obscurity, and I make sackcloth itself their covering. The Sovereign Lord Jehovah himself has given me the tongue of the taught ones, that I may know how to answer the tired one with a word. He awakens me, or he awakens. He doesn't awaken me. He awakens morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear like the taught ones. The Sovereign Lord Jehovah himself has opened my ear, and I, for my part, was not rebellious. I did not turn in the opposite direction. My back I gave to the strikers, and my cheeks to those plucking off the hair. My face I did not conceal from humiliating things and spit. but the Sovereign Lord Jehovah himself will help me. That is why I shall not have to feel humiliated. That is why I've set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. The one declaring me righteous is near. Who can contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my judicial antagonist? Let him approach me. Look, the Sovereign Lord Jehovah himself will help me. Who is there that can pronounce me wicked? Look, all of them like a garment will wear out. A mere moth will eat them up. Who among you people is in fear of Jehovah, listening to the voice of his servant, who has walked in continual darkness, and for whom there has been no brightness? Let him trust in the name of Jehovah and support himself upon his God. This is incredible. Look, all you who are igniting a fire, making sparks light up, walk in the light of your fire, and amid the sparks that you have set ablaze, from my hand you will certainly come to have this. In sheer pain you will lie down. That's it for Isaiah 50. Isaiah, but look at this. This is incredible. In pain you will lie down because you're igniting a fire, walking in the light of your fire. He's saying, go ahead, walk in the light of your fire, but you're going to have pain when you lie down. In other words, he doesn't like people who are trusting in their own ingenuity and their own fire. He wants people to trust in him. And isn't that exactly what Psalm 70 was saying? It was asking Jehovah for help. David was asking Jehovah for help. And here Isaiah completely agrees. It echoes that thought, completely agreeing with Psalm 70 when it says, who among you people is in fear of Jehovah, even though they've walked in darkness and there's no brightness, they're in complete, in a state of dismal futility, a futile situation where they don't have any hope. And yet Jehovah says, let him trust in the name of Jehovah. Now Isaiah lived long after David, right? He lived 300 years after David. That's something we should also know. But David trusted in Jehovah when he was in deep trouble. And here Isaiah is precisely echoing that idea that no matter how bad the trouble is, it could be continual darkness. Isaiah, by the inspiration of Jehovah, says, let him trust in the name of Jehovah. And also, then he goes on in verse 11 to say, you're going to have pain when you lie down if you're making a fire instead, right? Instead of just remaining in the darkness and trusting in Jehovah. So this darkness can be a spiritual darkness. We don't want to ignite a fire by making things up spiritually, by trying to create light out of darkness by making our own fire, in the sense of spiritually writing some, like, for example, Hitler wrote his book Mein Kampf so he could stir up and start a fire and stir up the German people so that he could get support, so that he could have control and power in Germany, so he could then take over the world eventually, is what he tried to do. But so he was like this person who tried to make a fire when he was in the darkness instead of trusting in Jehovah. And it occurred to me today that all these vitamins and minerals and things like that, we have to be very careful with that, because we want to trust in Jehovah throughout all of this. Because these things could be called, I thought of a good name for this vitamin idea of therapy with vitamins and using vitamins to support our health. We could call it body support or biological support. But the initials are BS when you take the acronym for that, right? That's what it stands for, BS. So I think that's a good thing to keep in mind when we're doing food food supplement regimens or regimens. I'm getting a tickle in my throat, so I'm going to have to cough, I think, just to get that tickle out of there. I mean, I don't know what it is. My back is bothering me. It's that herniated disc. I think that's what it is. And I don't want to sit down all day. So I think I want to get to work. But it's amazing. In the beginning of this chapter, he says, where's the divorce certificate of the mother of you people? Is he saying there is no divorce certificate? Is that what he's saying? Jehovah says, he calls and no one answers in verse 2. And Jehovah knows he has power. He says, with my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I mean, he does anything he wants. He awakens morning by morning, verse 4. Jehovah awakens my ear to hear like the taught ones. And then it's a prophecy about the Messiah as well, which says, he did not, or I did not. I did not, for anyone who's reading it, they can see the same thing. They can see it as from themselves. Of themselves, about themselves, I did not conceal my face from humiliating things and spit. In other words, we don't try to stop people from insulting us, or we don't try to hide when people insult us. That's what Jesus was like when they insulted him. You know, he took it with dignity. He did all these things with dignity when he was being crucified. He stood up and he took it with dignity, with strength. They flagellate, is that the word, I think? They scourged him or flagellated him with whips that had pieces of sharp objects embedded in the whip, and so it tore his flesh. We can imagine how painful that must have been. And he did all of that with seeming unbelievable dignity. I mean, he endured it, all the pain. And when he was on the torture stick, one of the criminals who was impaled with him turned to him and said, remember me when you get to your kingdom. So he clearly had become a believer just by witnessing what Jesus was able to endure. And Jesus said to him, truly I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. So it's December 10th, 2022. It's 13:08 hours. This is Ward Green. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a wonderful day. I'm going to get to work, I think. I love you. Bye for now.